Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. My name is Producer Steve. With me today, Draft Genius, and a very special guest, Davis Maddock. He is a writer for Roto Experts. He hosts his own show, The Take Cast, and is part of the Swole Cast with the Roto Grinders. His Twitter is at Davis Maddock, M-A-T-T-E-K, if you want to reach him. After you hear what he's got to say, you got some follow-up questions for him, you want to get some fantasy advice from him, Twitter's the easiest way to reach him. And he's with me and Draft Genius today. We're going to talk about the rookie landing spots and the results of the recent draft. We're going to keep it a tight show today, about 40 minutes. Let's get it started. Today we're going to focus on players drafted with some potential to make some fantasy impact this year in redraft. Of course, Draft Genius is on the show, so I know he's going to kick in with some dynasty knowledge. But primarily, we're looking at rookies, where they landed, and if they're valuable enough to draft for your fantasy team this year, or if they're guys you should just kind of keep your eye on for later in the season, those championship winners. Some call them sleepers. So a lot of sleeper information potential in this show. So get out your pens and papers. Guys, I wanted to just start off with like looking at rookie players. For somebody who's just getting into fantasy, or maybe just getting more serious about fantasy, I can watch film on these rookie players from college. You know, I might be able to see some skills, how polished they are. I might be able to see how motivated they are, how they carry themselves on the field. But there's a lot that I don't see in terms of, you know, what makes up a player, what makes up a human being who's about to go into the NFL. I just want to ask, Davis, how do you evaluate rookies when you're looking at them before they make the jump?
Well, the first thing I want to look at was this guy good in college? So, you know, was he a starter in college? Did he play as a true freshman? Was he really productive his final season at college? That's huge for me. And, you know, obviously landing spot is massive. So, you know, not every fourth round pick is equal. Some fourth round picks are going to be backups, right? So the Bengals, Travion Williams and Rodney Anderson, those dudes are going to be backups behind Joe Mixon. But Miles Gaskin is a seventh round draft pick and he's going to the Dolphins, who don't even really have a starting running back. Miles Gaskin could start this year. So, you know, team situation, big part of it for me.
Right. Yeah, but they have to have the skills to be, I mean, you have to see the skill set to be able to, you know, produce in the NFL, even if they're a backup, even if they're starting as a special teams guy, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's a big part of it, right?
So for running backs, there's just in general, the biggest thing you're going to find a correlation for running backs is playing time. So if a team thinks a running back can play, even if you don't think he can play, he's going to be good for fantasy. So like Josh Jacobs, I don't think he's very good. He was a backup running back in college. He ran slow at his pro day. He didn't really catch many passes. He just really was not a good college football player. But NFL teams decided, you know what, Josh Jacobs is good, and we're going to draft him in the first round. So he's going to get a bunch of carries, a bunch of targets for the Oakland Raiders. So even though I don't think he's good, his team thinks he's good, and that's more important than what I think.
Got you. Okay. Draft Genius, you feel the same way. Is there anything else that you use to evaluate rookie talent?
So basically, piggybacking off of what David said right there about Josh Jacobs, you're basically looking at the same situation that Arian Foster had, right?
Except Arian Foster was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, but I'm saying like low expectations going into the NFL, was given a increased workload sooner rather than later. And that, I mean, the workload is really all we really got to focus on in the NFL for fantasy production. So going off of that, no, you're right. He wasn't drafted in the first round and all that. But a guy like Jacobs, I mean, he has the SEC, you know, background, which boosts draft stock up instantly. In the little limited time, now I'm not a Jacobs fan. Let me put that out there first. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. But in the little time that he did play on the field, the four games he started, he was efficient with his touches. And I think that is what the NFL keyed in on him. But going back to my process of how I kind of evaluate rookies going before the draft, I look at rookie year production in college. So that would be their freshman year in college. If they produced in their freshman year, that's a huge, you know, green flag of sorts for me. That's a huge check mark for me. If you can produce as an 18-year-old in college against, you know, juniors and seniors who are 20, 21, then you're doing something right, or you have it. Then I look at their sophomore year production and so on. I look at their character on and off the field, if they have troubles on and off the field. I also take into account teammates. It's huge whenever you have a good teammate. I'll use DK as an example. I'm not the biggest DK fan. Anybody that sees me on Twitter knows that. But he had to compete with who I think is the best wide receiver in this class, AJ Brown. And that alone is something to, you know, take into effect whenever projecting DK at the next level. Maybe if it was just the DK show there, he would have performed way better. He probably still would have gotten injured because you can't really predict injuries. But he also had DeMarcus Lodge there, who is another wide receiver who got picked up by the Buccaneers. And he isn't that bad either. So we're looking at three good receivers on the same team, whereas DK, if he would have been on, let's put him on LSU, I think he could have shined on LSU because they lacked the wide receiver talent and he would have been the go-to guy.
That's why we call him Draft Genius, because you ask him a simple question and he gives you a very profound answer. Let's get into these. Let's get into these rookies. I want to kind of go through the each round, and you guys just kind of we'll start with the first round, because I think for the first round you see the players that probably are the most likely to be drafted for fantasy teams. People are the most hyped up about them. You know, they have memories of Zeke and Saquon recently in their heads of these, you know, first round talents that can win them a season. So I want to go through any names pop out to you guys in the first round overall in the NFL draft that you think have some real fantasy relevance this year, or are maybe just guys that you should keep an eye on?
Well, I think N'Keal Harry will be drafted in 12-team fantasy leagues. I don't think that Haskins, Font, or Brown will. My guess is that Josh Jacobs probably ends up with a late second round, early third round ADP, sort of based on how the preseason goes. You know, the only other veteran running back they have there is Isaiah Crowell. I mean, I think Josh Jacobs is better than Isaiah Crowell, even if I'm not high on Jacobs. So, you know, pretty much every year, the first round running back ends up going very early in fantasy drafts. But N'Keal Harry is sort of more on the borderline. You know, a lot of us have memories of, you know, Aaron Dobson, Malcolm Mitchell, you know, a lot of these other Patriots rookie wide receivers who get overhyped and don't play. But if Harry is not ready to play for them from week one, I don't really know if they have a great alternative. So I kind of think Harry's going to be out there sort of regardless of where he's at developmentally.
Your Draft Genius, anybody pop out to you in the first round? Not necessarily just being fantasy relevant, but maybe also consider the impact to the team that these guys may have. Like, you know, you're getting Kyler Murray as your quarterback. How does that impact the rest of the team?
I'm going to hit it in levels, basically, as you just said. And going towards the Josh Jacobson again, I agree with Davis 100%. I think he is really the only rookie I would contemplate taking, you know, as a rookie in the first four rounds of a redraft draft. Because you look back at Gruden's draft history, whenever he was with the Bucks in 2005, he drafted a guy by the name of Cadillac Williams. And as a rookie, he was fed touches. I mean, just plate after plate after plate until this dude blew up. He had plus 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns as a rookie, which is, that's looking at top 10 level back, you know, right there. If not top 5, depending on how the landscape of the NFL shifts. So the touches will be there for Josh Jacobs. I don't really like N'Keal's landing spot personally. In year one, I think he's going to take a big step in learning the offense, but I think it will come progressed more in the later half of the year rather than the first half. So he might be a good buy low during the season. Keep that in mind in your seasons. I'm looking at Deebo Samuels as my guy. He's not really in the first round, but I kind of had to throw him in there because I considered him a first round talent, and I feel like the Seahawks or the Patriots could have also taken them there. I think he is a plug and play guy. He's ready to play on day one. No matter if you put him X, Y, Z, you can line him up on little trick plays, you know, anywhere on the field. He's just a baller. Whenever he has the ball in his hands, he makes plays happen. I'm taking a flyer on Noah Fant in the end of my rookie draft just because of the correlation between Flacco and tight ends in the past. I mean, Flacco loves his tight ends, and I don't know if he's going to produce a top receiver in Denver, so I'm staying away from there. Wide receivers, but someone has to produce in that class for me. Somebody has to produce on that depth chart, for the Broncos. So My guess would be Noah Font, just because Flacco's just a tight end magnet.
So you like Font back, you like Font over Hock? You're not high on the Hock?
I do, just because I think Hockenson's going to be asked to do more, and I'm not sure he can handle it right away in that offense, especially with them having a Jesse James on the roster as well, who they paid and they want to use, evidently. And they have Isaac Nata, who they drafted in the 7th round, and he's probably just a, you know, just a stash piece for them right now. Maybe makes the team as the third tight end.
Okay.
But Hockenson carries more risk to me than Font, who is just going to be a receiver. So you know what you're getting. He's not going to be – I don't think he'll be on the field whenever they're, you know, run blocking or whatever. So he's going to get limited snaps, probably be more of a move tight end for them, kind of like a little Trey Burton role if you must.
Right.
You know, possibly different. We don't know that much about it yet because of training camp and stuff isn't, you know, near. So that's kind of how I feel on him. Now, referring back to the Kyler Murray situation –
Well, yeah, I wanted to get David's opinion on that too, because he just wrote an article, and it was the winners and losers of the 2019 draft, and David Johnson was one of the winners, and I think part of that was because of Kyler Murray. So let's get into that whole situation. Like, that team in general has undergone some serious changes now. So what do we like for this team fantasy wise, Arizona?
Well, Kyler Murray is great. He had the best college football season anyone has ever had. No one has ever been more productive than Kyler Murray was. He averaged 13 adjusted yards per attempt, which is an all-time NCAA record. He's incredibly fast. He's going to be a good runner in the NFL. He's going to a team with Cliff Kingsbury, who runs the air raid, which means they're going to play fast. The offensive linemen are going to have an easier job because they're going to be asked to do less, and their splits are going to be really wide. They drafted 3 very good wide receivers, all guys that I had rated out as plus EV picks, where they took them in the 2019 NFL draft. So they're just going to be throwing the ball, scoring a lot of points, and, you know, David Johnson is a great fit for that system because he can play wide receiver as well, and he's going to get his average depth of target, is going to move down the field again.
I agree with you there. I know how Murray was great in college, and, you know, all the weapons that Cliff Kingsbury set him up with, in a sense. I don't like Kingsbury at all. just gonna flat out say it. I don't think he's gonna succeed with Murray, and I think the situation we see with Murray in a dynasty perspective is in 4 years, if the Cardinals are still well, the Cardinals, and they're performing as such in recent memory, I think there's a big chance Kyler goes to baseball. That's my point of view on it. So I'm not investing on him in a dynasty perspective. If I am, it's to sell. But as a redraft perspective, he is a – if you stream quarterbacks, you know, zero QB strategy, which that's basically all that I do, I like Murray just because they're going to use him and they set him up for success, as to where Josh Rosen was set up for failure right away. Mm-hmm. I do think the offensive line took a minor bump in – you know, value in production. I don't know if it's such a win for David Johnson, but, you know, you look at David Johnson and how his season went last year. It has to be better than last year. It has to. Like, history shows us that it has to. I mean, he's going to find more lanes to run in. He's going to have better game script. I mean, last year was the absolute worst.
It wasn't like
scenario.
Yeah, it wasn't like his skill set took a dive. He's still a young guy. It was, I mean, and you looked at the, everyone was saying it. It's like, why aren't they using him the way they need to use him? So a lot of game script, a lot of weird play calling, and it just kind of killed his value.
Right. They were dead. Like, they were absolute last in points scored, which is, that's just a, you know, here, look, if I give you any team that's least in points scored, someone good on their team is going to suck. Yeah. That's basically putting it simple.
Right.
I mean, you look at the quarterback, the running back, even the wide receivers. Larry Fitzgerald had a decent season. Christian Kirk had a decent season. But just think if they were 16th, middle of the pack in points scored, how good of a season would those players have? I mean, I don't know. That's just my perspective on it. I'm not big on Kyler. I love Andy Isabella. Everybody's saying, oh, he could play just in the slot. This guy can play anywhere on the field. Andy Isabella is a baller. he was the best receiver in college football last year for a reason. Yes, he played for UMass and played against certain competition, yada, 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 but this dude's going to make splash plays, and you can't really guard him because you could find a mismatch with him anywhere on the field. I'm not a big fan of Hakeem. I like Keyshawn Johnson a lot. I do think that we could see another Mr. Irrelevant be very relevant for him in Caleb Wilson. I also like Ricky Seals-Jones as a sleeper, though. One of those tight ends is going to hit. You just have to kind of find who it's going to hit. I think Christian Kirk is their wide receiver one still, and he takes a major leap with Kyler Murray if everything clicks there. But I have my doubts so much about Cliff Kingsbury. It's ridiculous.
All right, Davis, I'm going to let you lead us into the second, third round picks here because you kind of got, DraftKings kind of got us in there with Deebo Samuel and Andy Isabella. Are there some players in the second and third round that were drafted? There's a lot of wide receivers, a handful of running backs. Anybody in there, a couple of names that pop out to you with sleeper potential or maybe, you know, late round flyers for redraft leagues?
Mecole Hardman for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to be a starting wide receiver this year. So I don't really think he's that good. And he did not play very much at Georgia. I believe he only had 60 college receptions, but it doesn't really matter what I think if the Chiefs think that he's good and he's going to be starting opposite Sammy Watkins. So I probably can pencil him in for, you know, 80 to 90 Patrick Mahomes targets this year. So right away, you know, we have that situation. DK Metcalf. I'm not the biggest fan of his either. He was my number six wide receiver in this class, but yeah, he's going to Seattle, and he's going to be either the number two wide receiver, you know, kind of based on how things happen with David Moore, or the number one wide receiver with Doug Baldwin likely retiring. So those two guys right there have a ton of opportunity. The same would go for Miles Sanders if the Eagles decide to make him their lead running back. And David Montgomery looks like he's probably going to be the lead running back for the Chicago Bears after they traded up for him at number 73. So those are three guys right there who I expect to have, you know, fantasy football ADPs for 2019.
All right, guys, I want to, before I give you a chance, Draft Genius, there's always some player that we have to shorten his name to like three letters, like, you know, ASJ or, MVS. This guy right here, JJ Arcega-Whiteside. What are we going to call him?
Jaws.
Yeah, Jaws.
We call him Jaws? All right, I like that. Okay. Draft Genius, hit me with your second and third round guys that pop out at you.
This is how you could tell this is, I mean, a great, you know, fantasy football or football in general mind right here. He, Davis Maddock, had DK at, you said, 5, 6?
6, I believe.
Okay, I had him at wide receiver 8, so great minds think alike right here. One guy I was very high on, actually, before this draft, and you could see it in my mocks, you could see it in my post-draft, I mean my pre-draft big board, etc. Mecole Hardman. I was very high on him. He's the best receiver to come out of Georgia this year. Better than Riley Ridley, better than Terry Godwin, who Terry Godwin was actually 11th all-time in receiving yards at Georgia, and that goes, you know, no one sees that, which Georgia doesn't really pass. I've been a fan of theirs since I was little, and I can promise you we're not a passing team. We're a running back, you know, phenom. We have three starting running backs on our team at all times. So you look at these wide receivers coming from Georgia, and a lot of people say, oh, their market share, oh, their lack of production. Well, that's because they didn't get a chance to produce. I think this is a spot where Mecole, in 3 years, not this year, I would not draft him in redraft. If I am, I'm taking a flyer on him at the end because the hype is going to be way too much. I think he can be a very, very efficient and very, very useful piece for this Chiefs offense right here. So I love the Mecole pick. I personally would have gone Paris Campbell just because I'm Mr. Paris Campbell. That's my guy. But I also love Paris Campbell to the Colts. I mean, this is a guy who you could see ideally giving you wide receiver 2 production in year 1 if he clicks with Andrew Luck. I've already stated my love for Andy Isabella. I don't like A.J. Brown anymore. He was a big faller for me going to the Titans just because I don't trust in Mariota. I mean, we have this big of a sample size, and there's still people pounding the table for Mariota. I don't agree. I don't think he has it. He was maybe the best college quarterback, you know, career-wise ever, but I think that was more from the coaching. That was more from the scheme. He doesn't have Chip Kelly running the Titans. Maybe he needs to. I don't think that A.J. Brown is the guy. I thought he was a bust-proof receiver, but the Titans are the only place I had him going to where he was going to just be bleh. I mean, he could have gone anywhere else. He could have gone to the old Browns that were 0-16, and I would have liked them more. So I'm not a fan of that spot. One guy I'm really looking at in round – this is just round two, correct?
2 and 3, yeah.
Okay. Well, I like Jaws. I like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but not this year. I think he's a good pickup in the middle of the year once Alshon or somebody on their roster gets hurt, because their roster is full of receivers who get injured a lot.
Right.
So pick him up or stash him at the very last round in your draft. Nobody's going to pick him up unless they play Dynasty. He's a good pick in Dynasty, but you're going to have to wait a year, in my opinion.
Okay.
One guy I really like is Terry McLaurin. Now, I'm not saying reach on him in redraft. I'm saying pick him in the last few rounds. But he's already developed a rapport with Haskins, who
right.
is assumed to take their starting spot eventually. I mean, sooner than later this year. I think that guy with Haskins can make a lot of plays just whenever they're on the field together, because they already know each other. They already know how each other throws or runs routes, etc. They know each other's game, so I think that is the move to make if you're going to go with a rookie receiver late in the draft.
Okay. Dave, I just want to get your opinion on some of the running backs, because you mentioned David Montgomery with the Bears, and the Bills added a running back in this third round. The Patriots added a running back in the third round. The Vikings added a running back in the third round. The Rams added a running back. A lot of these guys that are now drafted, do you see, the Eagles too, added a running back in the second. These teams, are they going to go more towards running back by committee? Do you see any signs of regression or lowering some draft value of the bell cow backs like your Todd Gurley, McCoy's not really a bell cow back. He's not being valued very high anymore. But this is more of an impact question. Impact to the team with these rookie running backs coming in the second and third round.
Yeah, well, Gurley is like done for me. Gurley has arthritis in his knee, and they spent a third round draft pick on a running back. If I had Gurley anywhere, which I don't, I would sell him yesterday. I have no interest in Gurley in Dynasty for me.
I don't like that you said that. Look, my most owned player is Todd Gurley, and I'm a firm believer that Gurley he's okay. He's fine. I think this is just McVay of taking best player available, because why not? He has a championship level roster already. So I think, yeah, there was tons of other players he could have picked there. I mean, I'm not saying at all that this was the perfect pick, but I think this was the top running back on McVay's board. And he said, well, third round, I mean, when can you ever get a starting running back in the third round, right. That of this caliber? This guy's he averaged in college 9 yards per carry. I mean, 8.9 yards per carry. That's ridiculous. That's the best yards per carry ever, historically. That's the most efficient running back, basically.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are looking at this thinking, why would you draft a running back that early in some of these teams?
I think it's more of he drafted Henderson, but maybe it just means that Gurley's still going to be featured, but it'll be more of a 1-2 punch kind of thing. Or maybe he just says, I'm going to trade John Kelly, and I'm going to upgrade my backup because Gurley has injury history, just playing the safe card there. I don't think arthritis is too much for people to downplay on Gurley. I understand it's a kind of a big issue, but you look at, you have triathletes who perform triathlons who have arthritis and stuff, and that's more strenuous than an hour of football. So I'm just on the side of Todd Gurley is okay.
Right.
I'm not selling. I'm actually buying, because his price is lower than ever. And most people, you either sell or you buy. You're doing one or the other. So that's a guy that I'm still drafting, and I will take him in the third round of a redraft draft where I've seen him go, which is insane.
Gurley in the third round.
Insane.
Wow. Okay. And lowest I've seen him is second, but third is, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
Right. And I'll even take him in the second. I mean, This is a guy who we've seen finish the top running back, before in some formats. He was top running back last year. It all depends really how you view the situation, but there are a lot of people that view it as Davis does and who will not own Todd Gurley no matter what, and they're selling. So if you're going to buy him, now's the time.
You make a good point. We haven't seen the crash yet. There's signs of it. Like if you treat it like a stock market, there's some indicators that maybe a crash is coming, but we haven't seen it yet. So now is the time if you feel a certain way to make the deal. The values are either low or high, depending on if you're buying or selling, like you said. Guys, we got about 10, 15 minutes left here. I want to get into the sleeper value rounds, the big value rounds, 4 through 7. So there's a lot of players that were drafted 4 through 7, a lot of skill position players. And remember, we're not going over offensive, defensive line. We're not going over defensive players. That's a much more longer, more involved show. But these skill position players late in the NFL draft, who's got some real serious sleeper potential? Who's got a chance to maybe become a special team star or injuries? They could really shine. Who am I looking at to put that little waiver flag on to pay attention to for the rest of the season?
The first one for me is Justice Hill, because he'll play for the team that leads the NFL in rushing attempts, and he's a backup to a 30-year-old running back who's going to be expected to handle 250 touches. So it's pretty easy for me to see a scenario where Justice Hill ends up their starting running back in week 9 or whatever, and it is getting 10 touches a game before that. Another one that I think is going to immediately get touches is Tony Pollard in Dallas. They drafted him specifically to ease up on Ezekiel Elliott a little bit. Rykel Armstead is now probably going to be the primary backup to Leonard Fournette with his career 3.5 yards per carry. You know, Leonard Fournette, one of the most overdrafted players in the history of the NFL, so he's not really any good. And Keyshawn Johnson, of course, talking about the Cardinals. If there's any wide receiver injuries, he'll become a starter for them this year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was going to say Justice Hill as well. I mean, is there a better running back to go to Baltimore? I don't think so. I don't think, like, there could have been a better fit stylistically. I think this is a guy who, after Mark Ingram, you know, they'll give Mark Ingram the lion's share this year, but after this year, it's wheels up for Justice Hill. I like Garrett Jennings Jr. In Seattle with the news of Doug Baldwin going away. I think he has very much sleeper potential playing that Doug Baldwin role. I think he can be a good guy, you know, in first year. I think he could outproduce DK, basically, if everything falls right for him. I'm not convinced on Tony Pollard. We saw this kind of with Dallas before. I hope he gets a shot. I mean, he was productive behind the most efficient running back in this class and Darrell Henderson. So might as well give him a shot. In Dynasty, I like Jarrett Stidham because I think he gives the Patriots a more versatile quarterback option, and we'll see a lot how he's used in preseason. But in Dynasty, I mean, I'm getting him in the 5th round of a Dynasty draft. That's you get Tom Brady's replacement in the 5th round of a Dynasty draft, you take it all day. And I don't even draft quarterbacks in Dynasty drafts. But this is just a guy who I'm getting at the end who, hey, he could have a huge upside with Belichick. I like Foster Moreau as a little sleeper tight end there. They don't really have a tight end of consequence on that roster. And they used the tight end a lot last year with Jared Cook. As we saw, Jared Cook had his best season. And now he plays for the best team in the league. I love Rykel Armstead. As Davis mentioned him, I love him. I think if Fournette gets hurt, look out. Armstead can take the workload, and he can perform a little bit better than Fournette. He might not be as talented as Fournette, but I think he can run better behind that offensive line and with that offense. And the last two guys to mention for me is Gardner Minshew. Now, I think I personally value him as the best quarterback on the Jags. I'm not sure how Davis or anyone really views him.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I'm a big Gardner guy.
I mean, it makes sense, right? I think this guy has the leadership for sure. He doesn't care what anybody thinks, which I love about him. And I think he can step in if needed and kind of take that little learning curve sooner than later. He will take a few years, you know, to learn the ins and outs of the NFL game, but I think this guy can be their future if they dedicate, you know, time and sources to him. I think if they build around him for the future, he can be fine in there. I liked him a lot. He was my QB5 coming out of the draft. Probably would have been QB4, but he had a few key concerns for me. The last guy who obviously had concerns in the NFL is Kelvin Harmon. He dropped all the way to the sixth round, and he had a second, third round grade by most analysts, which I saw why he dropped to the sixth round. You know, I understand why, but I think this is the exact receiver that the Redskins need. Yes, the Redskins drafted McLaurin, and they have Doxson, and they have Trey Quinn, Paul Richardson, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure I missed other people that they draft, but Kelvin Harmon looks like the guy that they need. Absolutely. They need it. Josh Doxson's done. That dude's – he's bye. He's going back, finish his degree or whatever, or if he got a degree, he's going to work. He's done after this year. Kelvin Harmon will be the guy there, so I'm acquiring him in Dynasty in the third, fourth round right now, which is a steal because this guy was a first-round pick before the draft happened. So that can't hurt a player that much unless they just become a UDFA, which is an undrafted free agent. So I'm taking a flyer in redraft on Kelvin Harmon at the end of my drafts as well if he's there. And then one last tidbit. I love Myles Gaskin. He is James White, basically. Look at him. And look at James White. Compare the two side by side. They're almost the identical person. And it's a little weird. But isn't it funny that a guy, now he was on the defensive side with the Patriots, but a guy who had James White on their roster and saw how he was used in the Patriots, now he comes in, becomes the head coach of Miami. Isn't it interesting how he takes a Myles Gaskin, who's a very exact comp of James White? I find that very interesting. I think he can have a major upside depending on how they use him.
Limited time left, guys. I want to ask you, actually, Hussein wanted to ask you a question from the listener here. Hussein wanted to ask, is there a player that you think won the draft? And he means player that was already on a team. So, for instance, he said he thinks Geronimo Allison and Ronald Jones did well in this draft because neither team added much to the position. Is there anybody you can think of currently on a roster that maybe escaped losing their job or escaped having any competition for their job?
Devin Funchess did. Colts didn't draft, you know, anyone who can play outside. They drafted Paris Campbell. I think he's a pretty big winner.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you can get him really late in drafts, too. Nobody's high on him at all right now.
Yeah, no, him. But he's locked into 80 targets, at least.
I love Devin Funchess. What is there not to love about him? He's the sleeper value receiver that you can get at any time you want in a draft, really. He goes undrafted a lot because everybody has a bad taste in their mouth. But people are failing to realize Eric Ebron is a myth still. He's just not that good. He got most of his production at the slot spot on the offense, not at the tight end last year. Whenever he was in the slot receiver spot, he played the big body slot role. That's what Funchess is going to play.
Right.
So line me up for half of Eric Ebron's production from Funchess, and I'm okay with that. I'm 100% on that. One guy I think won from the draft is Travis Kelce, obviously, because he's their wide receiver one, but that goes without saying. I think Sony Michel was a loss, but I also think he was a win based on the Damian Harris pick, because Sony's whole career, he split time. And I think if he can split time with Damian Harris and they become an efficient duo, I think Rex Burkhead goes, and I don't see – I guess James White could stick around, but I don't see him getting used as much. Maybe depending on the scheme that they put out, the sets that they put out, minus in the tight end and stuff.
Right.
But I'm not big on that offense this year, and it's mainly because they're transitioning to a whole different scheme. But I like Sony Michel winning, as he'll be more fresh. He'll be getting less nicked up in my eyes.
Gotcha.
But my main winner from this draft has to be Damian Williams. I mean, I think they got James Williams as a UDFA, which I love James Williams. Don't get me wrong. He's probably one of my favorite rookies to watch. But he's a UDFA. So if you go undrafted, that's kind of for a reason, and you don't have the draft capital to help your stock. So my winner of all winners would be Damian Williams. I don't like Ronald Jones. I never have. I basically got a lot of people to follow me last year whenever I said Peyton Barber is the guy you need to draft because Ronald Jones sucks. That's just my opinion on him. I think they still go out and sign a veteran running back. We saw Spencer Ware signed to the Colts today as a depth piece. I think Ajayi could be in line for the Buccaneers starting job if he signs there.
Davis, I mean, you mentioned Damian. I mean, you guys are kind of on the same page with Damian Williams as being a winner from this year's draft. You mentioned MVS And Hoose mentioned Geronimo Allison. I know you're a Jeff Janis fan. I just listened to your show with him on. And you had Sony Michel as the loser. So I'll give you last word. Hit on those guys real quick. The Chiefs running back, Green Bay wide receivers, and the New England running back situation.
Well, a massive win for everyone in Green Bay. You know, Marcus Valdez Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore, they're all going to get chances to be starting wide receivers this year because Green Bay didn't add anyone. A massive win for Damian Williams. The only guy that they drafted was Darwin Thompson, who's like basically a kick returner in the NFL. He's 5'8", 200 pounds, didn't even get invited to the combine. And then they actually signed an undrafted free agent guy as well. I'm forgetting the name of the guy. So I think that's going to be the him and Thompson are going to be competing for that third running back spot behind him and Hyde. And then, you know, I mean, basically for Michelle, it just sucks because they didn't use him as a pass catcher at all. And Damian Harris is going to have a chance to fit both in the Michelle grinder role and in the pass catching Rex Burkhead role, because I do think Burkhead is probably going to be a cut. So I actually think Harris has a chance because he's better in pass protection, better as a pass catcher to sort of overtake that role from Michelle.
So what do you think, Davis, about the possibility of – because we know Belichick doesn't like cutting players. Rex Burkhead getting traded to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I like that. I definitely agree with your analysis that the Buccaneers are going to add a veteran running back of some sort. There are loads of guys out there. You know, Ty Montgomery is out there. They have tons of guys that you can – that the Buccaneers can add. Burkhead would be an interesting one.
Or John Kelly,
yeah.
Those are just two moves to keep in mind. I think I'm glad you agree there.
And there's a lot of time left. I mean, guys, this show's going to come out May 1st. So there's a ton of time left in the off-season, preseason. A lot of things are going to change. A lot of new information is going to come out of training camp and all that stuff. So, Davis, I want to thank you for being on the show. Guys, if you want to get in touch with Davis, he's at Davis Matic, MATTEK on Twitter. Is anything really exciting you're working on, any project you want to promote right now, like something coming out this week that our listeners can go check out?
I just released my top 40 rookie rankings, which is available for free on rotoexperts.com. And I also just went through all, 500 players in PPR Dynasty and re-ranked those. And that is behind the paywall at rotoexperts.com. And they can get that subscription. They can get it 10% off if they use the promo code Matic, my last name.
Awesome. All right. And that's MATTEK. Davis,
yes, sir.
I wish we had more time with you and Draft Genius. I swear, like, I could put you two guys in a room for 3 hours and just listen and get a ton of good value information. So we're going to have you back on in a couple of months here, if you don't mind, and get some updated takes. It was fun, though. That's it for the show today. Thank you all for listening. And if you want to find us and ask us questions, the easiest way to do it is probably sleepwire.com. Or on the Sleeper app. You can find us on the Sleeper app. Go to the Sleepwire channel. We're all on there all the time. You can just DM us, slide into those DMs. You want to find us on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. Davis is on Twitter at Davis Matic, MATTEK, and the Draft Genius at The Draft Genius for the guy that does the Dynasty stuff. He's our Dynasty guy. Check him out. You can find me on Twitter at Toledo Radio as well. Other than that, we'll be back next week, guys. We're going to start two shows a week pretty soon. And Mock Metal Monday will be returning occasionally for all your mock drafting needs. Thanks again to our guest, Davis Matic, Draft Genius. We'll catch you next week.